they came out and said that they are not looking at unpaid leaves as a reasonable accommodation for those who are entitled to exemptions.
Again, we're working for a more permanent solution that will assure people that they'll have a job, both during the pandemic and beyond, fly out their careers. We've been doing a lot of behind the scenes work. We've been in contact with the FAA, been in contact with lawmakers and policymakers, trying to open up the range of possible options to get us through this.
Welcome back to another 5x5. This is APA Communications Director Greg Overman. This time around, we'll be providing a concise update on the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. On hand, we've got APA President Captain Eric Ferguson, Captain John Owens, the Deputy Chair of our Communications Committee, and Senior Director of Legal Affairs, Jim Clark. No question, there's a lot going on, so let's get started. Gentlemen.
Morning. Thank you, Greg. Morning, Captain Ferguson. Good morning, Jim. Yeah. Vaccine mania, vaccine mandate continues. It looks like, though, we have had a little bit of clarity in the last week or so. One of the things that we've noticed is that from the members writing in, we appreciate it and they still are writing in, but we've seen a slight decrease in the number of submissions. Those that are coming in still seem to not have been read the most recent information that we've published. And I know we've done quite a bit of that. Maybe, Jim, if you could speak to our most recent update on Sunday, that would be great.
Sure. Thanks, John. And thanks for having me. So Sunday, we put out our most recent substantive com on these issues. And really, we focused in that com on the issues of exemptions and reasonable accommodations, because those have been the most prevalent questions that we've been getting. As we've talked about before, the executive order that required federal contractors to impose these vaccine mandates expressly stated that any mandates that would be imposed on employees of federal contractors had to include exemptions as required by law. And in the case of vaccine mandates, the exemptions that have been recognized under the law are those for medical reasons and sincerely held religious beliefs. So we have been engaging in ongoing discussions with the company with regard to their plans as it pertains to accommodations and what they are contemplating for those who are entitled to exemptions, as it were, whether they were for medical or religious reasons. So Sunday we put out a briefing that not only spelled out just what the basics are under the law for exemptions for medical and religious reasons, but really more, it was a call to action for the company to say, you know, we've gotten these bits and pieces of information about what you are contemplating doing, what you might be contemplating doing, things that may have been said by Mr. Parker to union leaders. And we really just said, you need to come out and formally tell people what it is you are thinking you're going to do with respect to accommodations, because it was not fair to not provide that information to people who are at this point contemplating, am I going to file for an exemption? And if I do, what accommodation might be offered to me? Everybody has obviously heard about the United situation, where United's initial approach was they were only going to offer unpaid leaves of absence for everybody who was who qualified for an exemption. So that was obviously troubling to the folks at United. It led to litigation, which is still pending, and it was troubling to the folks at American and our members in particular, who were facing the prospect of being in that same situation if they were entitled to an exemption. So we pressed the company to address that. And, you know, there were discussions informally and suggestions that, oh, they were not going to go the unpaid leave of absence route. But nobody had come out and formally said that. So we pressed that. And Tuesday, the company did come out with more information. And that at least helped to clarify what their plans are at the moment.
earlier, Captain Owens mentioned something about the volume of emails and sound offs we're getting. It does appear that the membership is catching on and is now aware of the many things APA is doing on their behalf, doing what it can do. I want to credit the Comm Department as well. They've put these things out, made them clear and obvious. They're right on the front page. The president's update related to exemptions and accommodations, which Mr. Clark just talked about. And if you rewind there a bit, you'll find lots of information about one we called October 12, get informed about vaccine mandate. Another one, vaccine, these are president's updates, but federal vaccine requirement announcement on October 6, going back to October 1 and going even further back, what we have done is took action right away to help ensure that ultimately our members are able to remain employed without regard to their vaccine status in particular, but ensuring the same level of safety. So we've done a lot of work. We've been doing a lot of behind the scenes work. We've been in contact with the FAA, been in contact with lawmakers and policymakers, trying to open up the range of possible options to get us through this without degrading the level of safety. And so I think the membership as a whole has now caught on and is well read into what we are doing on their behalf and what we can do on their behalf as their collective bargaining agent.
I agree. And it does seem that the membership is starting to know where to find that information. One point you did mention was with the company's information that came out Tuesday, I was wondering if Jim might give us a little clarification of what, in fact, they said and what it meant. Jim?
Sure. So what the company put out on Tuesday was, I guess, the headline that is most relevant and most important to our folks was they came out and said that they are not looking at unpaid leaves as a reasonable accommodation for those who are entitled to exemptions, that is not the path that they are looking to take, that they are still exploring what accommodations may look like for folks, and that may be different depending on what job you're in. And they are talking to their unions, including APA, about the prospect of accommodations and what might work to achieve the goals and still allow people to work. And so some of the things that the company mentioned in their comm piece was the requirements of test, of mask wearing, of social distancing, perhaps daily self-health assessments and testing in some form. And they did reference the proposed OSHA rule, which is intended to allow non-vaccinated people to test weekly in order to continue to come to work. They didn't commit to anything, but they indicated that right now is kind of the universe of what they're looking at as possible accommodations. And as I said, it may be different depending on what job you're in, because there are different requirements, obviously, for each job. But I think, like I started with, the headline from the comm and the thing that was this should be the most important to our folks and to everybody in American is that they are not going the route of just saying, okay, if you get an exemption, you're going to be on an unpaid leave of absence. They are going the opposite of that, and they're trying to find ways to satisfy the obligation to offer accommodations while still allowing people to work. And in fact, they said that they will allow people to continue to work while their exemption request is pending, if in fact it is not decided and reviewed prior to the deadline date. So those were significant announcements from the company, whereas prior to that, it really was just a void of information.
Thanks, Jim. I know Captain Ferguson has had some direct conversations for clarity. So the big takeaway here, sir, is that Captain Ferguson, is that we believe that that the company has said that you will be fine through the holiday season. However, they still are insisting that, you've got to fill out the paperwork. And then even then, that they will continue to work on future accommodations for those that don't have a sincerely held religious belief or something else. But in the meantime, that folks can rest sure that they will be continuing to work through the holidays. Is that correct, sir?
So this is Eric. I got to say that, yes, in a sense, but frankly, it's not good enough. And I just want to give a handful of examples. I'm going to walk through this real quick. One of the things that's frustrating here is that we're getting, for instance, headlines. And there was a headline reported on the 17th that said, and I quote, Delta Airlines CEO ditches divisive COVID vaccine mandate, marks 90% employee vaccination rate. If you go on and read that article, nowhere in there does Ed Bastian say that we're ditching the mandate. And in fact, 2 days later, on the 19th, U.S. Newsweek reported that Delta CEO clarifies vaccine mandate message as Southwest yields to angry staff. Because, frankly, that was clickbait that too many people took hook, line, and sinker. Because if you read the actual article, nowhere does Mr. Bastian say that, you know, we're ditching a mandate, because he can't. They are federal contractors as well, and they believe they are subject to it. But they are then now beginning to say the same things that we're hearing from American, and that is they're trying to find a way to work with people to keep them on the job. Now, it's a challenge to the airlines. It's a challenge to everybody here, especially our members. It's incredibly anxious. It's distracting. And these things are the mortal enemy of safety in our environment. What the company has done, and so going backwards, I think the actual guidelines came out on September 24th. That same day, we sent letters to key lawmakers saying, look, it's not good enough to just have, because you have a government contract to say you've got to get the shot, when a large company can afford other options. I'm not talking about exemptions or accommodations, other options to keep people flying, to keep people working and keep them safe, i.e. Testing, enhanced mask requirements, social distancing, other measures should be afforded to large groups that were covered by OSHA that do not have federal mandates. And so what we've said early on is, how about we just apply that to critical aviation infrastructure workers, so you don't have to go through the process necessarily of getting an exemption under ADA or under the Civil Rights Act, Title VII, so, which would be the religious accommodation. It is still onerous, it is still problematic, and the company's guidelines that it published on Tuesday, though much better than what it had published on October 6th, which was a 180 reversal in what it had been saying, and caused a whole lot of anxieties. And we had to fill that gap and try to keep people focused along the way. What it did come out and say is headed the right direction, but also facing the reality that there is still a mandate out there that requires you to get a vaccine if you are a worker, unless you get one of these two exemptions. And then the accommodations that might be offered should allow you to continue to work. And in fact, the company's been very clear now that the accommodations that they are considering will allow you to continue to work, which is important. But by no means does that guarantee you an exemption does it guarantee you an exemption once your request for one is made and decided. So what happens beyond that, what happens beyond the holidays, is still an unknown, which is again why we're trying to get the same options applied outside of exemptions, outside of accommodations, that will allow folks to, it would be clear and unambiguous that you would be able to continue to work subject to these conditions, which will keep the workplace safe. Because look, and that's where this all aligns in our constitutional objectives. For instance, we have 14 constitutional objectives. Nowhere in it does it say medical freedom, but it does say to protect the individual and collective rights of the members of APA and to protect their professional interests, including timely prosecution of individual and collective grievances. That's Article 2B of our CMB. Okay, so we're working on protecting your professional interests. Today is Friday the 22nd. I have been made aware of a protest that's going to be held in front of American Airlines about medical freedoms. Okay, American Airlines is not about medical freedom. APA is not about medical freedom. That is not a constitutional objective. We are about protecting your professional interest. And that's what we're going about doing it in a low-key way that doesn't add to the anxieties and stress of our members, but just seeks to solve the problem in the manner that I just described. But there will be people supposedly out there protesting today to the CEO of American Airlines and all of American Airlines management that had until October 6th said, we agree with you. This should be a personal choice made between you and your personal doctor regarding the vaccine, but then became subject to an executive order. They didn't ask for it. We didn't ask for that either. And then in a very wrongheaded way, in my opinion, and I was very clear about this, said, well, forget all that we said before. Now you either get the shot, this is on October 6th, or you get fired with no empathy, with no further explanation, and left a terrible void. We discussed that at the labor leader meeting on the 8th. That has been reported. That was reported in Sunday's update from the president. There it was previously discussed on this program. And fortunately, the company a little late, but began to fill in the gaps and help to ease the anxieties by letting out a little bit of the pressure here, opening the bleed valve, if you will, just for a moment, and then closing it again, because a lot of these questions remain unanswered and should not put people at ease in the long run until we can get a better, more permanent solution or option for folks, as opposed to put in your exemption. Maybe you'll get it. You should be, if you do get it, you'll get an accommodation that will keep you flying versus an unpaid leave. I mean, that is better than where we were between October 6th and whenever that was. I think it was this Tuesday that the company published that. In fact, I know it was. Okay, that's an incremental step and an improvement and positive. And of course, the company has reiterated several times in that communication in the Q&A that it's working with the union partners to make sure our CBAs will be followed. If in the end, somebody is not granted an exemption or an accommodation, they'll still be given the chance to get the shot. And if they still refuse, we'll then be afforded the benefits of the collective bargaining agreement when it comes to investigation and discipline, grievance and appeal, Section 21 in our case, for instance. So the news is trending positive, but we're not there yet. And again, the question I hear is, what happens if we get to the other side? And I found that I didn't get an exemption and we're past the holidays and I don't get the shot. What happens then? Well, if the mandate is still in place as is and other options aren't available, it may not go well. So we're trying to get answers that will work and give people peace of mind. Those, both the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, we represent everyone. And we also have to safeguard with ceaseless vigilance. This is article, the safety of scheduled air transportation. That's APA article 2G of our constitution and bylaws. That's what we do. So we have to balance and find the common ground of our members, those that are unable to get the vaccine for whatever reason, and those that are in favor of getting the vaccine and have been vaccinated. We have to ensure a safe workplace. The OSHA, pending OSHA guidance that we expect, kind of tells you how you can do that without getting the shot necessarily. So those are the ways we're working on it. I'm sorry if it doesn't satisfy the people that are going to be protesting American Airlines that is faced with this challenge that it didn't ask for either. And I'm not heaping praise on American at all. But what I am saying is, unlike the case at Southwest, they're engaged with their union partners to face this challenge, where our friends at SWAPA have been stiff-armed and continue to be stiff-armed, even as the litigation runs its course. So we have another podcast talking about the difference between the SWAPA litigation and our situation here. It is different. We support our friends. That litigation does matter, but the situation is diametrically opposite at American versus what's happening to our friends over at SWAPA and Southwest and their members. So I'm trying to, it's a long-winded way of wrapping it all together to say that we know there's problems, we know there's concern, we know there's still an ongoing pandemic, and we're going to find a way to get through this together like we have to this point by just being steady, being calm, and making right decisions. Make the best right, the next right decision, and that's what we're going to do and are doing on your behalf.
Bring up a good point. I know you've been very focused, Captain Ferguson, on the distraction and the safety implications that a lot of this causes. I think for clarity and from a communications perspective, I would like to address one thing for the members, is that as we sit today, this original 24th date, November 24th date, the day before Thanksgiving, and then subsequently December 8th date, that at this point, it doesn't appear that anybody should be in fear of losing their job at those two dates. Is that a valid statement?
Based on what the company has published, that's what the company is trying to communicate today, that don't worry about losing your job on Thanksgiving Eve or on December 8th as it sits today. That is what they're saying. But that is not sufficient in the long run, but those facts come from the situation or arise from an executive order that covers this company. So I wish I could offer more, and I wish I could say with absolute confidence that that's what's going to happen. At this point, that's what is indicated. But again, we're working for a more permanent solution that will assure people that they'll have a job both during the pandemic and beyond, and fly out their careers here and put the personal politics aside. I said this before, this has become a religious issue for some people. It is a religious issue. For others, it's become a religious issue. And none of that has any business in our workplace. All I need to know is the person sitting next to me is well, okay? That everybody here is well at work and not transmitting this disease among the workforce as best we can. There are several ways to do that, and that's where we want to go, which lines up with what our union is supposed to be doing. The other issues, which I know you want us to go fight on your behalf, that might be more political in nature, it's just not APA's business. My personal politics, I don't bring into this job. That's not what we do. We're here to serve all. We're here to get through this thing, and I believe we will.
Wow, Captain Ferguson, that is a good way to address this issue, which has been a very, very difficult issue for many of us for quite some time. I'm in a fortunate position working for APA that on a daily basis, I get to witness what the leadership here does, not only internally for our pilots, but with our fellow unions, brothers and sisters, including our Government Affairs Committee in Washington, D.C., and the amazing work they do on our behalf, and where in many cases we've led the industry. We also have, of course, our professional standards people that are dealing with these issues, and I would be remiss not to talk about our medical committee, who I think is probably one of the best in the industry for sure. I would appreciate, just the opportunity to mention once again, the 24th date and the 8th date. As of today, as of we sit, based on what the company has said, and they've just doubled down on in their state of the airline address yesterday, that you will remain on the property on the 24th and the 8th. However, there are still some things that you have to do, and I think we all need to stay informed. And I will end it this way, as I do every week. If you do nothing else, please, please read the weekly digest. And if you have questions where you may think we haven't talked about something, please reach out at any time and we'll be willing to answer those questions. Thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate the opportunity on behalf of our membership today.
Now, gentlemen, as always, highly informative update. And with the vaccine mandate clearly top of mind for many of our members, we will continue providing frequent updates on this and other timely issues. Until then, thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again soon.